ॐ ज्ञान्तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशुलकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपादकमला श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सग्रजतं सहगणं रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सद्वैतं सवधूतं परिजनां सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिककान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तु ते तप्तकञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दवनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वञ्च गौपतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुवेव च पतितानां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गिराधर शिव सति गौर भक्त वृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे बताय महत्प्रिय मा पुरो विभु निर्मय क्षति याद मुष पुरुष मुक्त गुना सदास सदसुत्मक कृष्ण भगवान वचांसि मे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण So, somehow, I was requested to give a class again. I think Chopati devotees want to perform extra austerity of listening from me. So, I'll count on your blessings. So, if I say anything right, that's going to be coming from your blessings. And if I say anything wrong, that's going to be my own fault. We continue reading from 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Chapter 13, the Hamsa Avatara answers questions. Text 31. Asatvat atmano nesham. Asatvat atmano nesham. Bhavanam tatkrita bida. Bhavanam tatkrita bida. Gataya hetavaschasya. Gataya hetavaschasya. Mrisha swapna drishayatha. Mrisha swapna drishayatha. Asatvadatmano nyesham bhavanam tatkrita bida gatayo etavaschasya mrisha svapna drisho yatha. Atmanatatmano nyesham bhavanam tatkrita bida
Sattvaratmanonisham Bhavanam tatkrita bida gatava etavaschasya Any ladies? Okay. Synonyms. Asatvat. Because of lacking factual existence. Atmanaha. From the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyesham. Of others. Bhavanam. States of existence. Tat. By them. Krita. Created. Vida. Difference or separation. Gataya. Destinations such as going to heaven. Hetapaha. Fruitive activities. Which are the cause of fruit. Future rewards. Cha, also. Asya, of the living entity. Mrisha, false. Svapna, of a dream. Drisha, of the seer. Yadha, just as. Translation prepared by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Those states of existence that are conceived of as separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead have no actual existence, although they create a sense of separation from the Absolute Truth. Just as the seer of a dream imagines many different activities and rewards, similarly, because of the sense of an existence separate from the Lord's existence, the living entity falsely performs fruitive activities, thinking them to be the cause of future rewards and destinations. Herbert. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments as follows. Although Lord Krishna, in his form of Hamsavatar, has condemned the intelligence that sees duality and separate values within the material world, the Vedas themselves institute the system of Varnashram Dharma, by which the entire human society is divided into different castes, occupations, and spiritual statuses. Therefore, how can the Lord recommend that one give up one's faith in the Vedic system? The answer is given in this verse as follows. The words Anyesham Bhavanam, or of other states of existence, refer to the innumerable divisions of false identification with the material body, mind, occupation, and so on. Such identification is illusion, and the material divisions of the Varnashrama system are certainly based on this illusion. The Vedic literatures promise heavenly rewards, such as residence in upper planetary systems, and prescribe the means to acquire such rewards. However, both the rewards and the means for achieving them are ultimately illusion. Since this world is the Lord's creation, one cannot deny that its existence is also real. Yet the living entity who identifies the creation of this world as belonging to himself is certainly in illusion. The example may be given that horns are real and rabbits are real, but if one imagines a rabbit's horns, that is certainly illusion, though a rabbit's horns may occur in a dream. Similarly, the living entity dreams of a permanent relationship with the material world. One may dream that one is feasting on sumptuous sweet rice prepared with milk and sugar, but there is no actual nutritional value in the dream of royal feasting. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks in this regard that as one soon forgets the experience of a dream after awakening, similarly, a liberated soul in Krishna consciousness does not see anything substantial in even the most exalted rewards offered by the Vedas, such as promotion to the heavenly planets. Therefore, Lord Krishna advised Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita to remain fixed in self-realization without being deviated by fruitive rituals performed in the name of religion. Asatvatatmano Nyesham Bhavanam Tatkrita Bhida Gatayo Hetavaschasya Mrisha Swapnadrisho Yatha. Those states of existence that are conceived of as separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead have no actual existence, although they create a sense of separation from the Absolute Truth. Just as the seer of a dream imagines many different activities and rewards, similarly, because of the sense of an existence separate from the Lord's existence, the living entity falsely performs fruitive activities, thinking them to be the cause of future rewards and destinations. So this is a very interesting verse spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hamsa Avatar. And it is very very well connected to one of the main verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone knows which verse we are talking about? One of the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. It is second canto, chapter 9, text 34. Ritertham yat pratiyata na pratiyata chatmani tad vidyat atmano mayam yata baso yata atama. So the Supreme Lord tells Lord Brahma, O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, it is, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. And so in this verse, Krishna is actually elaborates how the Maya works, right? That Maya means disconnect from Krishna. And so basically, our subject for today is that without connection to Krishna, nothing has any value. But in connection to Krishna, everything has value. Without connecting to Krishna, even the best things in the world has no value. And when connected to Krishna, even something which appears to be worthless can be very valuable. So this is what Bhagavatam elaborates. This is one of the main ideas of Vaishnava Siddhanta, that illusion means to disconnect things from Krishna and to think himself a doer. I might think that I am giving Bhagavatam class, right? I am speaking, I am moving, I am multitasking. You know that all of us are multitasking? We can at the same time breathe, blink and think. How genius we are, right? And also beat our hearts. So there are so many things in the body which we even have no idea how they're happening. So that's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that prakriti kriya manani gunaya karmani sarosha ahankaro vimutatma kartaham iti manyate, that a bewildered conditioned soul thinks that I am the doer, even though everything is done under the influence of the three modes of nature. So we can take no credit for anything, right? Because how can I give a class? I can give a class if this is Krishna's knowledge, right? And the body is given by Krishna, and the soul is given by Krishna. So what do I have? Nothing, right? Sometimes it can be more, sometimes it can be less effective, depending on the influence of the modes, right? And so if I'm lucky enough to be in the right association under the right influence, then things are going in a very, you know, good way. Otherwise, what I call, you know, I may call it a problem, but it's just the influence of the lower modes. And we are only observing and desiring things to happen, right? And that's why it's really important to have right motivation. Actually, the entire Bhagavatam and the entire Vaishnava philosophy is helping us to understand that it's a motivation which is the most important in Krishna consciousness, right? That's why devotees joke that it's better to be in bed and think of Bhagavatam than to be at Bhagavatam class and think of bed. Right? And it's not to encourage you to go and lie during Bhagavatam class in bed and think of Bhagavatam, but comparatively speaking. Of course, the best thing is to be at the Bhagavatam class and think of Bhagavatam. Right? And so, the problem with seeing things as separate from Krishna is that we think it's ours. This world is ours to enjoy. And then think ourselves to be the lords and the masters of this world. And it's very interesting that Krishna, just because we wanted to be in this illusion, he removes himself from the picture and he's existing as unseen witness of all our activities and actually allows us to do whatever we want to do, right? Execute our free will. But sometimes, of course, he shows us special mercy by speaking to us through the heart. In Calcutta temple, devotees have very interesting arrangement. They have children's playground in a courtyard of the temple, and there is a big tree there. And so they fixed a surveillance camera to the tree to observe what children are doing. And of course, sometimes children are getting too naughty, and so one devotee is observing them. And they were thinking, how do we control children, make sure that they don't become too naughty? So devotees are very creative people. So they put a kind of mask, you know, very kind of ferocious looking mask on the top to cover that surveillance camera. So actually surveillance camera is looking through the eye of the mask. And then they connected some loudspeaker to the mouth of the mask, and then if children are getting too naughty and, you know, the devotee is looking, observing their activities, and then, you know, that devotee through the microphone, he says in a very grave voice, "Children, stop being naughty, otherwise I'll be upset." And then children thinking, okay, this mask, this, you know, talking head is threatening us. So we should behave ourselves, right? So like that. So, but the Lord is also observing our activities, right? And sometimes if we get too naughty, He gives us a warning. Either through the heart, as the super soul, and sometimes using even other people to help us understand something, or using even other living entities. That's why the description given in this canto is also of one avadut brahmana who achieved perfection by staying alone. And then Maharaj Yudhishthira was asking, so how did you achieve perfection? And he said, Oh, I have many gurus who were teaching me many important lessons. And so his gurus were not just human beings, but even animals and insects, etc. So he was learning from everybody. So if we are sincere in Krishna consciousness, then there is no shortage of guidance. The only difference that from some people or from some living entities or situations we can learn how to do things, and from others we can learn how not to do things. But learning process never stops if we're actually conscious of what's happening. And so therefore Srila Prabhupada was telling that if you are actually sincere in your Krishna consciousness, you will never be separated from me. I will appear to you through everything in life. And the devotee got a little confused. He was saying, how this is possible that, say, if I'm passing by somebody's courtyard and dog is barking at me, how that is your manifestation, Srila Prabhupada? He said, if you're sincere, Prabhupada said, if you're sincere, you'll figure it out. You will understand that I will be manifesting through everything in life, because spiritual master is the external manifestation of the Supersoul, right? And Supersoul is guiding. So if we are sincere, there is no shortage of guidance. And of course, we still want to get good association for the examples of how to do things in the right way in Krishna consciousness. But all the troubles come because of that desire for fruitive rewards in life. And so there are so many examples of that. And we desire sense gratification only when we forget about Krishna, right? Because Krishna is the one whom all sense gratification is meant for. But if we forget Krishna, then we think, how can I enjoy life? And so there are so many stories, like the story about Trishanku and Vishwamitra, which you probably heard many times. I think it comes in Mahabharata as well. How this king Trishanku, well, prince, right? He just had this desire to go to heavenly planets. But he didn't want to change his body. So somehow he wanted to go to the heavenly planets in this body, which was meant for life on earth. And so he went to his family guru Vasishtha Muni, and he was asking, can you send me to heavenly planets in this body? And Vasishtha said, no, that's nonsense. Why do you have this desire? I'm not going to do that. So he sent him away. But Trishanku was thinking, okay, Vasishtha's children are also very powerful brahmanas, so I should ask them. So he came to their children, to his children, and he said, can you organize sending me to the heavenly planets in this body? And they were saying, okay, we'll have to consult, and then we can tell you. And then they consulted with the father. They said, it's very strange this Trishanku came to us with this strange desire. And Vasishtha became angry. He said, what's this nonsense? I told him no, and he's trying to get it around. He's trying to get the result from you. And then he called on Trishanku and he said, because you are acting with such, you know, great determination for sense gratification, you are not Kshatriya. Because Kshatriyas are those who are ready to sacrifice their sense gratification for the benefit of others. Kshatriyas and Brahmanas are not meant to be selfish. Kshatriyas are sacrificing themselves for protecting others, and Brahmanas are sacrificing themselves for educating and guiding others. But he said, because you are so selfish, you just want to go to heaven to enjoy. You are not a real Kshatriya, you are Shudra. So I curse you. Instead of going to heaven, let you become Shudra. And the curse of Vasishtha Muni is very powerful. So Trishanku got very concerned. Oh my God, what happened to me? I wanted to get some benefit and then I even lost what I had. And then he was very upset and he was passing by the place where Vishwamitra Muni was. And Vishwamitra Muni noticed him. He said, what happened? Why are you so morose? And Trishanku told him that I wanted to go to heaven, but then I got cursed by Vasishtha. He didn't want to send me to heaven and cursed me instead to become Shudra. Do I look like Shudra? Vishwamitra said, don't worry. Vasishtha didn't do that because he didn't have enough powers to do that. And then he tried to conceal his weakness by becoming angry and cursing you. So I will show you that I have powers which even Vasishtha Muni doesn't have, right? So in Shastra there is this traditional competition between Vishwamitra and Vasishtha. And so Vishwamitra announced throughout the whole kingdom, he said, I will do something which neither Vasishtha nor his children were capable of doing. I will be sending Trishanku to the heavenly planets in his very body. And of course this was a very unusual thing. And so many people gathered around the sacrificial arena. It was like a big performance. More people than come to watch the cricket match gathered. And Vishwamitra was in the center of attention, you know, dressed in his best way and, you know, using all the yantra, tantra, mantra he could, you know, possibly use. And he was doing yajna, putting ghee into havan, and Trishanku was sitting there, didn't know what to expect. And then suddenly Trishanku started ascending. He started levitating and went into the air, and he was going faster and faster, and then he disappeared behind the clouds. And everybody started applauding and congratulating Vishwamitra Muni. And while all this was going on, suddenly they saw that Trishanku is falling back. And Vishwamitra Muni became very concerned and he started performing his yajna again, and he chanted mantras, and by the power of the mantras he stopped Trishanku in the air. But Trishanku was falling down head first, and so he stopped him like that in the air. And then he was asking, what happened to you? I sent you to Indraloka. Why did you come back? And Trishanku said, yes, I actually came to Indraloka. But when Lord Indra saw me, he said, who is this Shudra? And what this Shudra is doing in heavenly planets? He has to go back. And actually, he personally gave me a kick in my rear side. And I started flying and I went all the way down. And thanks to your mantras, I didn't smash myself against the ground. So, but that kick was really powerful. And Vishwamitra suddenly experienced a big hurdle in his mission of sending Trishanku to heaven. That was Indra himself. Wow. But then Vishwamitra said, never mind, you know, because Vishwamitra comes from this Kshatriya background, right? Even though he's a Rishi, but he has this Kshatriya determination and spirit and stubbornness. And he said, even if Indra doesn't want to accept you, I'll by force push you into heavenly planets. And then he started chanting mantras again, and Vishwamitra went up, but this time no one congratulated Vishwamitra. Everyone was waiting. What will happen next? And sure enough, Trishanku is falling back again. And Vishwamitra is ready and he chants his mantra, stops Trishanku in the air. And he says, Indra again kicked you? Yes. Anyway, we'll send you back. Then he sent him back. And it's described that in this way, Vishwamitra and Indra were playing with Trishanku, you know, sending him up and down, as if he was a ping pong ball, right? And they were like playing him like that. And you can imagine Trishanku got so many kicks from Indra, and it was pretty painful. I mean, get the demigod's kick. And he was so tired of flying like that, and he was already like in such a pain that he was crying tears. And he was pleading with Vishwamitra. He said, please, now I don't have any desire to go to any heaven. I just have a desire to stand with my feet on earth. Never mind whoever I am, Shudra. I just want a peace. Forget about this bliss. Let me have some peace. But by then he became a victim of Vishwamitra's stubbornness. He said, anyway, I'll send you up. And so this was going on for a while, and then Vishwamitra realized, no, Indra is too powerful. I cannot force Trishanku into heaven. And then he thought about it and he said, okay, never mind. I will create a special heavenly planet just for you with my powers. And in this heavenly planet, everything will be topsy-turvy, upside down, to make you comfortable to stay there. And so this is what he did. And so he created Trishanka Loka, where everything's upside down. There is a planet like that, heavenly planet, and Trishanku lives there. So we can see that attempts to achieve heaven are so troublesome, right? And even if you achieve it, it's all topsy-turvy. So it's not worth it. And plus, it's temporary. So that's why intelligent people, as Narada Muni says, they never strive for any temporary results. Tasyaiva hetu prayateta kovido. What's the use of working so hard for something you're going to lose anyway? Right? So that's why devotees are called the most intelligent people, because they strive for the purpose, for the goal, which is beyond the three worlds, which is eternal, unlike heavenly planets. And even if some desire remains in the heart for sense gratification, Krishna is very merciful. And so by his mercy, he removes that desire from the devotee's heart. I remember when I started, when I just learned about Hare Krishna mantra, and my experience was that you chant Hare Krishna mantra, any desire will become fulfilled. And I didn't know much philosophy. I didn't read much of Prabhupada's books. But I had firm conviction that Hare Krishna mantra, you know, anything becomes possible. And I was really young, and I wanted to enjoy life to the full extent. And if you have plenty of money, then everything becomes possible in life, right? And so I was chanting Hare Krishna mantra with this idea to enjoy. And Krishna gave full facility. And I just dived into sense gratification completely. And I tried to enjoy to such an extent that very quickly I burnt myself out fully and actually ended up with serious depression. Because sense gratification definitely brings a lot of misery. It's just introduction to misery. But I still was so determined to try to enjoy, because I was thinking, this cannot be so. Everything is available in my life. And why am I so miserable? And actually, one reason why I was so miserable, because someone in my heart kept telling me, man, you're doing complete nonsense here. You have to change your ways. Otherwise, you'll run yourself in a serious trouble. And I knew that this voice is right. And so I was getting more and more depressed. And then finally I found some devotees and I was asking, you know, why am I chanting Hare Krishna and I'm so depressed? And the devotees were saying, are you following everything else or just chanting Hare Krishna? I said, well, I'm also a vegetarian. But that was about it. They said, no, you have to follow everything properly. You have to stop your sense gratification. And then I realized that there is no other way, because by this sense gratification, I made myself so miserable, I didn't even want to live anymore. And then one day I decided, okay, I surrender. And so I came and left it all. And then real life started from that point. So sometimes it is like that. And just a memory of that misery, which is sense gratification creating, is enough to not even think about it. And yeah, it's interesting that even if little desire for sense gratification remains, Krishna is easily fulfilled, you know, like removing that from the heart. We were traveling with one devotee from Switzerland, and we were planning our journey, flying from US to Australia. And we could either take direct flight or have a stopover in Hawaii. And I never been to Hawaii, and neither he was in Hawaii. And so he started preaching to me. And this stopover was absolutely free. Didn't change the price of the ticket at all. So we could have a free stopover in Hawaii. And so he was saying, we should visit Hawaii, because, you know, Prabhupada stayed there for such a long time and it's such a nice place. Don't you want to visit Hawaii? And I said, okay, let's have a stopover there. So we landed in Hawaii, and of course there is a very beautiful temple there, Prabhupada's quarters, where he spent a lot of time. And plenty of Prabhupada disciples. And one Prabhupada disciple told us that Hawaii was the only place on earth where Srila Prabhupada gave very interesting instruction to his disciples. He said, every single day you have to go to the ocean and bathe in the ocean and swim and enjoy the ocean. And so he said, since you're all in Hawaii, you have to fulfill Prabhupada's instruction. Let's go to the beach. I was thinking, okay, this is nice instruction. And Hawaii is a very beautiful place. Prabhupada was saying that if there is any place on earth which resembles heavenly planets, that's Hawaii. So anyway, we went to the ocean and, you know, crystal clear water and snow white sand. Very beautiful. And we were swimming and enjoying for more than an hour in the water, and then came back to the temple being very happy. But I had no idea that Hawaiian sun is actually radioactive. And I didn't put any protection cream on my skin. And so as a result, I was burnt. My skin was burnt so badly that I couldn't sleep for a few nights because of burns. And then my skin was peeling off. Of course, I couldn't go to the beach anymore. And I was so miserable. I had such a miserable time in this heaven that today, even if you pay me, I will not go to Hawaii again. So, because, you know, this samskara place could be like the best on earth, but if you suffer there, you don't want to have anything to do with it. So, but I was thinking, this is Krishna's mercy, that he showed how every single sense gratification results in misery in the material world. But just because this material world is full of misery, it does not mean that we reject this material world and condemn it. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport, that Hamsa avatar seems to condemn the material world, everything material. But how he can condemn it if he created it all and then he gave the social structure to exist in this world, Parnasram Dharma? And the explanation is that the Lord is not actually condemning material world as such, because material world is also his creation. He condemns the desire for sense gratification. But the right thing is to take this material world and offer it to Krishna for his sense gratification. As Prabhupada one time was talking to the man, and he was explaining in his standard manner how this material world is so full of misery, and there is no happiness in the material world, and the man was growing more and more frustrated. And then at some point he actually protested. He said, Swamiji, if this material world is such a horrible place, then why Krishna created this horrible place? And Prabhupada said, for sense gratification, for enjoyment, for pleasure. And the man started smiling. He was thinking, okay, finally Swamiji admits that there is some pleasure in this world. And Prabhupada figured it out, how he was thinking, and he said, but this is not for your pleasure. He created this world for his own pleasure. And so this is really important. If we want to be happy, even in this material world, we have to use this material world for Krishna's pleasure. In this way, we will not have to renounce this world, nor become attached to it. That's the transcendental situation of the devotees. By utilizing everything for Krishna, devotees remain unaffected by this world. And this is what Bhagavatam very elaborately explains. And one very important verse, actually there are a few verses like that in Bhagavatam, but one very important verse is spoken by Narad Muni in the first canto, fifth chapter, text 22. He says, learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerity, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of hymns and charity, culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. And Prabhupada explains in a purport very important point. He says, when advancement of knowledge is applied in the service of the Lord, the whole process becomes absolute. The personality of Godhead and his transcendental name, fame, glory, etc. are all non-different from him. Therefore, all the sages and devotees of the Lord have recommended that the subject matter of art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, and all other branches of knowledge should be wholly and solely applied in the service of the Lord. And for me, this is the biggest inspiration from Chaupati Temple, because we have this very strong spirit of Yukta Vairagya. And recently I learned that one of your leading devotees, Gaura Gopal Prabhu, he attained massive success with his book on personal development based on Krishna consciousness, and this book was sold more than 1 million copies worldwide. And so this is tremendous success. He reached out to so many people with the message of Krishna consciousness, making Krishna consciousness very relevant to them through, you know, self-help means psychology, right? Applied psychology. And so he made it very, very relevant to people. And this is really the way forward. And this is the way to establish Varnashram Dharma in this society, that we make Krishna conscious message very relevant for people, and we help them to connect to Krishna in a meaningful and professional way. And so this is very inspiring, that not only His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj makes his way ahead on a very high level in this society, but also his leading disciples are following in his footsteps very successfully. And so congratulations with that one example of tremendous success, which I'm sure you have many, and I'm sure in future there will be many more. So that's why the entire world is looking up to Chaupati Temple for example and guidance. So we'll take a break for any comments or questions, suggestions, complaints, if you have. Anyone? I'm sorry, if it was too boring, I didn't mean to bore you for an hour. Microphone?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class.
Thank you.
Maharaj, yesterday you told about some stories about your personal relationship with Giriraj-ji. You give one example. You might have some different examples also. Can you please...
Pastimes?
Yes, pastimes.
Of Giriraj. Okay. Oh. When I go through airport security, sometimes they want to check you very thoroughly. And, you know, having these smart Brahmana tendencies, I don't want them to touch any paraphernalia or Giriraj also, especially, right? Because you're supposed to follow Horegata principles to do that and be clean. Pujari clean for that, right? And definitely the security staff are not there. They don't have these standards. And so, and it's very interesting that if you focused on something in your mind, then it is happening. And one time I was really worried that they will check Giriraj as well and touch Giriraj and actually hit him into my bid bag. And then the security officer, he said, I have to check all your luggage. So he checked it. And then he said, what's inside of this bag? Pointing at my bid bag. I said, these are chanting beads. But, you know, whatever is in this bag, these are all sacred objects and they should not be touched by anyone else but me. He said, can I just show it to you? He said, okay, just show it to me with your hands. And then I pulled out beads, a little bit from the bead bag. He said, no, that you pull them all the way out of the bag. So I took the beads out, and obviously something was there in the bag also. Giriraj was there. And he said, anything else in the bag? And I didn't know how to explain to him what's in the bag, who is in the bag. And while I was, you know, perplexed, he was thinking, I'm hiding something. And he became annoyed that I'm trying to hide something. He said, what's in there? And he actually grabbed the bead bag from outside, right? Pretty roughly. And I became angry at him. And I told him, didn't I warn you that you should not touch with your hands anything? These are sacred objects. And he said, what are you hiding there? Show to me immediately. But I said, I'll show you, but you should promise that you should not touch anymore. He said, okay. And he was really angry. I was really angry. You know, it was kind of tense moment. And then I took Giriraj out and I opened the bag. And then to make sure that he doesn't touch him with his hands, I put it in front of his face. And I opened the pouch. And I don't know what he expected to see in that bag. But probably the last thing on the planet he expected is to see a stone with eyes and smile. And then, you know, he was like so angry and upset. But when I opened the pouch and he saw the Giriraj, his expression of face changed into the expression of a child who was caught doing something naughty. You know, he had this expression of guilt on his face. And I don't know what Giriraj told him. But he started apologizing. He said, I'm really sorry that I forced you to kind of, you know, show me what you had. And I felt remorse also because I kind of, you know, agitated him. Because the man was just doing his duty. It was not like against me or something. And so I took it too personally. And so I said, I'm sorry that I kind of shouted at you. He said, no, not a problem. So I don't know what he thought. But definitely, I mean, this episode he will remember for life. You know, seeing this stone with eyes and smile in front of his face. And I was thinking in retrospect that I'm so selfish. I don't want anyone to see Giriraj. But Giriraj wants everyone to see him, right? He wants to give his darshan to everybody. And so he actually encouraged this man from his heart that he insists on darshan, and he got this darshan. And I was thinking, why am I so selfish? Let them see Giriraj. What's the problem? Even if they accidentally touch him, okay, I'll just chant mantras to ask for apology. That's it. What's the big deal? I should not be like smarta brahmana. So actually, it's very interesting that Giriraj, in one stroke, he achieved so many purposes, right? He purifies people. He's teaching me a lesson. And so many other things he's doing. And this is how the Supreme Lord is described, that with one activity he achieves multiple purposes. And it's very interesting that I've learned that, you know, my mentality is really reflecting on people. So when I go through the security being very tense, then they want to check me very thoroughly. Because they say, okay, this is tense guy. I might be thinking, why do they have to check me? I'm a Hare Krishna. Hare Krishnas are harmless, right? Peaceful people. But from their standpoint, how do they know if this is genuine Hare Krishna or this is someone just pretending to be Hare Krishna, right? And plus, they may not have so much knowledge of, you know, spiritual dresses, and they might think anything. I might be anyone, any religious guy. And religious people are, you know, creating a lot of disturbance at the moment with their fanaticism and terrorism. So they have to be vigilant. And so But actually this is their service to Krishna, because they provide security for everybody, including the devotees. You know, they are also providing security for myself. So why should I be so much against them? Or why should I take so much exception to what they are doing? And once I've realized that for myself, I was thinking, no, I should be very friendly to these people, because this is their service to Krishna, to provide security. And then I started going through security with smile on my face and saying, Hare Krishna, good morning, how are you, etc. And they've stopped checking me. That's really amazing. Because they saw, okay, this guy is relaxed, so probably has nothing to hide. So that's very interesting how our mentality is affecting other people. So we can just imagine if we become purely Krishna conscious, how that will affect everyone. It's mind-blowing, right? So that's why Krishna consciousness is the greatest achievement we could ever wish in our life. There is nothing more valuable. Hare Krishna. If anyone has anything else, otherwise we'll stop. Thank you all very much for your kind hospitality, and I'll be looking forward to have your association again sometime in future. Hare Krishna, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Vrinda Ki Jai.